And it runs the gamut, everything from peer-to-peer mentoring and bringing people together, Main Street businesses, nonprofits. United Ways have been a great partner in these communities. And everybody just sitting down at the table, talking about their data, figuring out what they can do and how every adult has a role to play in making sure students are staying in school. So all of these look different depending on the context of their community. But because of the work they're doing, from 2009 to 2013, Montana's graduation rate has increased from 80.7% to 84.4%, and the dropout rates decreased from 5% to 3.6%. Mm-hmm. That's 772 more students that stayed in school over the last few years as a result of Graduation Matters efforts at the local level.
Let's talk a little bit about advanced placement and dual enrollment. Mm-hmm. AP, I think that's fairly self-explanatory. Briefly, what is dual enrollment? What are the benefits?
So dual enrollment is similar to AP, where AP is a course that's taken for students and they can take a test at the end of that. You know, it's advanced placement. And so they take a test and if they get a certain score, they're likely to get college credit. Mm-hmm. And dual enrollment is the same thing. It's just a connection with colleges across Montana. Where if a student is ready, they can step into a college English class or a college math class and bank those credits before they leave high school. And so we're working with the governor and the commissioner of higher ed to really make sure we're pushing that effort out as much as possible, because a lot of students are ready for college level classes and we want to make sure that those are available to them.
Saving, I would assume, students money mm-hmm. in the long run and getting more people through these colleges in a more efficient way.
Yeah, right now, dual enrollment courses are offered to students at half price of tuition. And so it really is a great way for students and families to get credit before they step out and have those in their backpack when they step on the college campus and at a reduced cost. And it's just a win-win for everybody.
Common Core, this mm-hmm. is now the nexus of politics, social policy, education. Critics say it's more of the same, teaching to the test, dumbing things down, ceding our state educational systems to the federal mm-hmm. government.
A few years ago, there was actually a call from American businesses across the country around public education, please do a better job of producing qualified workers, people with skills that are able to come and work for American businesses. And public education responded by getting together. I know there's a lot of misconceptions out there that it was federally driven, but this really is a state effort. States came together. My national organization, the Council of Chief State School Officers, came together with the National Governors Association and created a group that then wrote new standards for English language arts and math, that it was important for there to be common standards that were high, that were clear, that were rigorous. Before Common Core, every state had their own standards. Every state had their own assessment. So there really was no true measurement about how Montana students actually were stacking up. So we were the 46th state, I believe, to adopt these standards. We took our time. We brought the drafts in. We had responses from teachers on every draft. We had an outside group look at our standards and do comparisons. We had teachers come together and really look at the standards. And everybody that saw the new Common Core standards were like, yep, let's adopt them. Let's move forward and make sure that our students are reaching these benchmarks. The one big difference, I think, from our old standards are these new Common Core standards are grade by grade specific. And so before, our standards were benchmarked at 4th, 8th, and upon graduation. And so second grade teachers sort of had to guess about what do I teach my students to make sure that they're reaching those 4th grade benchmarks. Now they have their own second grade. They know exactly what the bar is. They know the content that those students need to meet. They're very rigorous.
Still, though, there's lots of pushback, yep. lots of parents who are not happy about it. Louisiana Governor Jindal yep. has filed suit against the mm-hmm. Obama administration to stop it.
Yeah, that's politics. Common Core really is about good education and what's happening in schools and in classrooms. The political attack is really an attack on public education. And if it wasn't Common Core, it'd be something else. It's the idea that we want to privatize public education, that we want charter schools, we want tax vouchers, demonizing teachers and saying they're not doing a good enough job. That's the political part. Common Core just happens to be the tool that they're using to drive that wedge. But Common Core really is just about standards and about what students learn. There's nothing mysterious about them. I suggest if people really have a question, we have a great website opi.mt.gov/mccs and go take a look and look at them. And there's nothing scary in them at all.
One more thing I would like to touch on. The Montana legislature once again convenes this winter.
Yep.
What are your plans? What are your expectations and hopes?
For the last few sessions, I've actually been under Graduation Matters Montana trying to get a bill passed that raises the legal dropout age from age 16 to age 18. This is going to be the session that it happens. And all that's really about is making sure that we set an expectation at the state level that we expect every student to graduate from high school. The law hasn't been changed since 1921. That's when we said that you have to be 16 to drop out. And the economic world that we live in now is just so different from that time.
Dropout age, what else?
So right now, there are a lot of schools actually that do the right thing. And if a student needs an extra semester or extra year past the age 18, they educate them, and they currently do not receive funding for those students if they're over age 18. And so there's probably around 100 students every year that are 19 that are in school, and so we want to make sure if schools are doing the right thing by educating them past the age of 18 that we pay them for that. And so that'll be another big push that I think has a good chance of passing this time as well.